Right. Hello. See if I can. Okay. I've looked over this chart, Third House Aquarius. It was quite interesting. But before we get started, I want to just come out and say that I love astrology, but know that we are immortal beings. Living in a physical body, and just every once in a while, we decide to experience certain things in the physical realm, and we create evolutionary streams of energy so that we can move forward in the universe, right? That's a very objective, esoteric vantage point to say this while in a physical body, but we're speaking on a soul level here, all right? And we also need to know that we create everything in our chart that we want to deal with while in a physical body. This is our plan. This is the vibration we carry into this lifetime. Okay. It's not anything on the outside that is doing anything to us. It's important to know. Now, my goal with astrology analysis is to present knowings to possibilities of things occurring in a certain way at any point in time in our life, because we always have freedom of choice. We have choices, okay, of how we want to use our energies, how we want to use our energies, and how our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our actions, and even our imagination. We always want to try to pick the best choice, but this is not always easy sometimes, right? Because we cannot see the larger picture in our life or all of life. Now, do know. And this is probably a belief system, but the function of life, if we support life, then life will support us. Okay? It's just something to contemplate on. And we do not always know what is best for us. So we find out days, weeks, months from now that it was not the best choice, but we did learn something from it. Right? We did learn from our choice based off the experience we created. Let me share my screen and let's look at the chart. All right. There we go. All right. Let's see. Okay. So this is the natal chart that we will present today. Third house Aquarius. The aspects will not be discussed. I have a lot I want to cover, but the trines, squares, opposition, there are no oppositions. The squares, trine, and sextile will not be mentioned today. All right. But I do want to mention that, and this is something else I'm not going to do today, but I want to mention it. I like to identify the life phase positions, which is when we're living our life from birth and we actually journey through life across our chart, we interact with the planetary forces. Let me turn on the Zoom 10. There. So we're born and then we're living our life age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 20, age 30, age 40. Okay. And this goes on. And normally 52 is when we symbolically enter the the second phase of our life. And before we enter the second phase of our life, we are to integrate everything in the first part of our life and begin the second part of our life. Okay. We leave behind what we don't want. We keep what we do. We integrate and then we build. But going back to the life phase positions, they indicate perspectives that should occur in our life during that particular time and space. So, for example, I'm guessing that the first house or the first, when Sagittarius ends with or finishes its cycle within the first house, then the expressions of the individual will shift into Capricorn, okay? Be more Capricorn type of reactions. This will create experiences going through the houses, and certain aspects will need to awaken from within ourselves before we can progress further along our path. All right. Now, also, we'll talk about the planets because, like, for example, the second house Neptune forces, here's second house Neptune, and Capricorn expressions will develop your emotional body and desires. So this creates the energy that allows other energies to come into your life, which shape your inner and outer reality. Okay, to allow these certain focuses of energies to come into your life to learn about emotions, positive and negative emotions. Okay, so again, and normally from the first house to the fifth house, okay, right there. Normally, the first house to the fifth house is mostly dictates where we come from in previous lifetimes, which we have a lot of natural choices and directions that we choose. So this is probably up to about age 42. I'd have to do the math when I calculate the life phases. All right. That's just an overview. But also know that the planets, they represent a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of your life. It's very obvious that your second house is the major area in your life. The planets in your second house are there because they're pre-birth intentions. Okay. The house sizes are pre-birth needs. Okay. So you have intent to, you have intentions already set to learn in the area, in these areas of life. Now, for example, your sixth house. See how much smaller your sixth house is compared to your first house. All right. First house is probably about 35 degrees. Your second house, I mean, excuse me, your sixth house is more like 20 degrees. So with the houses, we get a general idea where we come from prior to incarnations because of the size. A small house, there was not a lot of time and energy spent in these other lifetimes with sixth house area of the attributions of sixth house. So you will aim to bring circumstances in that area of life to be successful, to conclude them. And ultimately, we can visualize the sixth house at, let's say, 20 degrees, and we aim to expand it to 30 degrees, which is balanced. And in order to balance it to 30 degrees, we would have to take away from these other large houses, which are already well developed within your subconscious. Okay. So the large houses have a lot of time and energy in other lifetimes, and you're very capable in these areas. And circumstances will easily come to a conclusion without a lot of experimental work or trial and error. All right. But as for the zodiac signs, they define repeatable circumstances that will happen in certain areas of your life. Okay. Again, going back to your Capricorn, your second house with Capricorn will have repeatable patterns that you'll play out. Repeatable patterns that were established probably right here, probably up to about age 15. Now, these repeatable patterns with Capricorn expressions will continue to subconsciously play out until you consciously and willfully choose to respond to circumstances differently. And how do we do that? Well, we have to know that we have to identify it. We have to identify these patterns, okay? We have to identify these expressions. And our outer world, our inner world and outer world will reflect to us so that we get the opportunity to do that. And just to simply put it, houses represent past tense. Zodiac signs represent present moment. And then planets can represent the future. Okay. That's the intentions. All right. But with the planet positions, before we incarnate, we agree with specific pre-incarnation intentions to, we could just call it the Lords of Karma or Spirit Team of Earth or Planetary Logos, whatever name we want to give it. But we did this so that we can connect with spirit in our own unique vibration to get a physical body. All right. We gave the Lords of Karma certain ideas of what we wanted to work on. We created a plan. We created a pattern to achieve in this life and to finish it. Excuse me. And to finish it before our physical death. Okay, the planets represent multiple energies of which we are composed. They are energy expressions, forces, and they represent certain qualities. All right. I mean, for example, your sun in Aquarius. So the sun represented in our solar system is what we intend to apply in our life. Okay, the sun is all giving. It's the largest mass in our solar system. It's just blasting out love and light. Well, we can apply that to our own life. So the implication of our sun in our chart reveals where we intend to shine light and develop and express in that area, and to gain new light and gain new understandings in this lifetime. All right. So, Sun and Aquarius. Let's move on. I like to show this slide. I made this image, and before I read charts, I like to show it because it's important to know. I like to use the quadrant system, okay, when I read charts. The first quadrant is our personal development. Second quadrant is our family development. Third quadrant, social development. Fourth quadrant, career development. Bottom half of our chart, subjective plane. Top half of our chart, objective plane. Okay. Inner world, outer world. The ascendant is we're conscious of ourself, the consciousness of self, awareness of our being. All right. And our ascendant, we will be playing out on a day-to-day basis for the rest of our lives. Okay? We were born at this degree, 0 degrees. So know that with our you have a Sagittarius ascendant. Okay. You're gonna want to free yourself from constraints. And this is because constraints were most likely imposed in other lifetimes. All right. These constraints could have been superficial or narrow-mindedness. Let's go back to your chart real quick. This is important. Let's go here. Here's your chart with the houses. So your ascendant and your descendant, they work on balancing each other out. In fact, all the houses do. Okay. But we're just talking about ascendant, descendant. So we have a clue here. In previous lifetimes, you're here to free yourself from constraints. Okay. And these constraints could have been related to negative Gemini attributions, all right, like the narrow-mindedness and superficial. But you'll have to, let's go back to the other drawing. All right. But you'll have to live many experiences in this lifetime to honor and to flow within your Sagittarius ascendant. Okay, this means to see the world, Sagittarians, to see the world, long travels, see cultures, which possibly only in previous lifetimes you learned about instead of experiencing. So a Sagittarius ascendant, that's a good clue. Where previous lifetimes, maybe the world was small and there was not a lot of travel. In this lifetime, you're here to balance that out and go forth and experience and see the world. But just know that Sagittarians will need to, they normally act before they think. So just watch out and slow down. Okay. The nadir, inner consciousness, intuitional awareness, subconscious realm, and the conscious realm, the outer world. Outer consciousness, the rational awareness, that's your midheaven. Now, the midheaven is important because this is where you're experimental in ways to do things better, right? This energy is mostly behind many of the choices you have made and intend to make in your lifetime. All right. So, and a perfectly balanced chart is in the center. I have key zero, the Fool, which is super consciousness, and the divine spark within us, also known as the self. Okay. We have an observer within us, the soul, many names, but this is a balanced chart. Here are the just a An overview of the houses and their attributions. Here is your chart with all the planets, all the primary planetary archetypes, also included the four major asteroids, North Node, South Node, part of Fortune, the Chiron, Black Moon, Lilith, okay, Aries. So I just wanted to show you this chart for your subconsciousness to take a snapshot. Look how the chart is unbalanced. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. We always come into a body with an imbalanced chart. All right. And the goal is to create balance. All right. This is the chart we're going to talk about today. I removed the aspects and I only have shown your 10 primary planetary archetypes. Now, I use tarot because that's important for the subconscious to see these symbols. All right. The subconscious responds from symbols, even if our conscious mind doesn't understand it at certain times. Our subconsciousness knows these symbols. Tarot has been in the collective consciousness of humanity for many millennia, and these universal symbols, which have even more symbols embedded within, your subconscious now sees them and will respond. Okay. Just know that tarot is very powerful, and I highly recommend to even if don't go in depth with the study, but just have the images, have them laying around the house. Find a good deck, a tarot deck, and just glance at them every once in a while because they reveal wisdom. Like, for example, with your Gemini descendant, Gemini is assigned to key six, the lovers. All right. So now you consciously know that Gemini is assigned to Tarot Key Six, the Lovers. And we could go even deeper and know that the principles of consciousness, that the principle of discernment is assigned to Key Six. Now, what did we say about your ascendant of Sagittarius? We talked about how they will think, I mean, they will act out before they think. So they need to watch out and slow down. So by meditating on key six and saying that out loud to ourselves, we are consciously telling our subconsciousness that we want to implement discernment on our choices and how we react and respond. Okay. Okay. Now, your first house is well developed. In previous lifetimes, your subconsciousness has already experienced this area of life, and within this life, it will not be difficult. This is actually also where we build our physical body. The first house is here we go. First house is how we is where we build a physical body, and then the second house is we build our emotional body, and then the third house is we build our mental body. Okay, there we go. That's your first quadrant. This is the personal development area of life, which is ruled by Sagittarius. All right, Sagittarius is the cusp. Now, if you can come to the realization that within your journey of life, I'm just going to say this simply, it's way more complex when we actually live it out. But if you're having difficulty with personal development, okay, physical body, emotional body, mental body, communication, personal value, self-esteem, self-worth, all of that, then know that Jupiter is the ruling planet for Sagittarius. Okay? Jupiter. Where's Jupiter on your chart? It's right here. 11th house, Scorpio. This means that you can consciously tell your subconscious that I'm consciously focusing on Jupiter in Scorpio, 11th house area of life, and that will help with returning to a flow state in your life for personal development. Okay. That's the idea. That's the idea. Now, how you interpret this as is really I suggest learning Jupiter characteristics and attributions. I suggest learning Scorpio characteristics and attributions, and then know that Jupiter is the ruling planet for your first quadrant. All right. Now, as we move, if we were going through your life phases, I would be telling you differently, but that's a high level overview. But around age, let's see, probably around age 14, around, we'll just say age 10 right here, you begin to it's have the reverberations of the planets gearing up. Look at all these planets. They're gearing up for you to experience in this lifetime. Okay. This, your early childhood, it's very obvious that your soul has important areas in this phase of your life that it wants to experience, to learn from, and to understand and grow from. Okay. For whatever reasons why in previous lifetimes. But let's talk about your Neptune and Capricorn. Normally, Neptune and Capricorn has very conservative and like a traditional outlook, but they can Neptune can be very cynical in Capricorn. All right. And with this being in your second house, watch out for confusion over financial matters. Okay. As Neptune is the Neptune has a higher influence. In fact, it's a higher octave of Venus. Venus is love, and where Neptune is magnified, a magnified or a lot stronger influence of Venus. Okay. So Venus is actually feminine. Neptune is feminine also. Okay. You must learn to love yourself. And in order to pass the test of love as a with a couple, like in an agreement with another partner, then that's going to be one of the challenges that you could face in this life. So you must learn to love yourself, then pass the test of loving with another in order to live a life with compassion. There we go. Yeah. But watch out for loving as a possession. Okay. Love to possess others or even things could be illusions. Neptune's really the lower influence of Neptune is illusions. Okay. Second house. A lot of times when Neptune's in the second house, an individual could spend a lot of their time in their life with low self-esteem and have this image of themselves with low self-worth. Okay. So have to learn to love yourself with Neptune in the second house. Now with Uranus, this is Uranus. Yeah, this is so interesting because it's only 2 degrees from Neptune. So Neptune and Uranus are working together, right? They're in conjunction. Now, Uranus normally has this reckless, impulsive attitude. And this could be towards finances in the second house. It could be towards attitude towards self, which would be projected to out to others. So Uranus may be there to help with, it doesn't want to be possessed by possessions. Okay. So Neptune has the illusion to where we can try to possess people, places, and things. And Uranus is like, no, I don't want to be possessed. In fact, I don't want to make money the conventional way. So money could be very unstable also. Financial matters could widely fluctuate throughout your life. And here we are, Mars in Aquarius. So you will actually work well with others in a community. And you probably have, and Mars in Aquarius is erratic energy levels. Like there's this rebellious side of Mars in Aquarius. But the reckless with possessions, again, second house, it can be extremely attached to them. So Uranus in between Neptune and Mars, that's probably gonna be there to help out a little bit. But this is also an area of life where, in the past, in previous lifetimes, right, where there was probably a lot of unstable or instability. Or maybe communication and the emotional body and the mental body experience very difficult times. And that's why you have all these planets here in your second house. All right. So, and watch out, Mars in second house also has a tendency to impulsively possess things or buy things. Those are just. Those are reactions, are responses from the subconscious. Okay. But here we have your sun in Aquarius. You're very freedom loving, strong willed, independent mind. I'm also Aquarius. And we actually need our freedom. Okay. In fact, your entire chart, look at your chart. Your entire chart, you are actually here to fulfill destiny. All 10 of your planets are on this left side. This life is about you. It really is. It's about your personal development. Okay. Just to give you some contrast, most of my planets are on the right side. All right. I'm here to fulfill destiny. I'm here to be more of a service to others. But in order for me to be of service to others, I have to be of service to myself. Okay. In a sense, it's backwards for you. You have to be service to yourself in order for you to be of service to others. It sounds the same, but it plays out. In fact, the verbiage was the same, but you're here to focus primarily on your personal development, where I'm here primarily to focus on serving others. Okay. You have no planets in family development, no planets in social development. All right. But interesting enough, with your son in the second house. You, with the sun, it in the second, it wants ownership to have like a sense of security. Okay. So you have attachment that's illusion. You have detachment from the things. You have obsessive attachment with Mars. And then you have ownership to have a sense of security. In this lifetime, I highly recommend to study second house attributions, Capricorn, Aquarius. I'm not going to, we could go even deeper with the other polar axis of the zodiac signs, but we're not going to do that to keep the video short. But let's move on to your Venus in Aquarius. So Venus in Aquarius has a unconventional type towards love and romance, right? Now you value friendship very much and you desire intellectual partners and deep emotional bonding that may not come easy to you. All right. But Venus in the second house is actually very caring and affectionate, which can be expressed through tangible things. You love to give gifts and enjoy receiving gifts. But just watch out for being overly possessive of people with Venus in the second house. All right. So finally moving out of the second house, five planets in the second house. That's a lot. Your Mercury is in Aquarius, so you're a progressive thinker and you're very receptive to new concept, new ideas, even though Neptune is more traditional based. You do have Mercury here, and that'll create a like a balance where and also Mercury's in your third house, which is the development of your mental body, your communication house. In fact, your mind may seem like it's on all the time, right? You're constantly gathering information and wanting to share ideas. You're a quick learner. You possibly even talk very fast or even excessively. But here we have Saturn in Pisces, right? Just 17 minutes into Pisces, 0 degrees. You have a sense of longing. Well, let me say Pisces and Saturn has a sense of longing, which means if you've ever felt homesick before or, but with this longing, can't really specify what it is. That's very Piscean energy, right? Piscean is very nebulous and it's hard to hone in on something with Piscean energy because it's all about oneness and integration. Now, with this Saturn in Pisces, in this lifetime, there'll be experiences that will occur where you'll have the opportunity to overcome fear, overcome guilt, overcome anxiety, overcome loneliness. So all of that's very important in this lifetime, especially being in your first quadrant of personal development. All right. Emotions are going to go up, down, left, right. It's going to very a lot of emotions. And we'll talk about your Scorpio placements when we get there. But Saturn in the third house also can be very serious minded. Like very small talk may be difficult sometimes. All right. Even though your Mercury likes to talk a lot, the you may try to be very accurate with communication. Let me drink some water. All right, so but just know with that Saturn in your third house, your mental concentration is very good, very sharp. But now the understandings on what you focus and concentrate on might be difficult. All right. But just know that this, I've just finished your first quadrant, which is half your chart because you don't have any planets over here on the right side. But just know this life is about you. And I say this in a healthy, selfish way. This life is about you, not others. Okay? Because once your insides All that self-worth, self-value, self-remembrance of who you really are, all of that unfolds from within your subconsciousness and from your heart center, then your outside will reflect it. Okay. And then you will be serving others just by serving yourself. Yeah. All right. Even though your family development quadrant is empty, your cusp is, you can barely see it. I mean, 29 degrees, 36 minutes, 30 degrees is this little black line that touches Aries. Your family quadrant is actually ruled by Pisces. Okay. Even though it's 24 minutes away from being 30 degrees. This is symbol. All right. Now, Aries in your fourth house is going to be very dominant when it comes to your private life and your family life, your family development. But as with your personal development, to keep it simply, if your family development is you're having a difficult time, which could be months or years, days, months, years, doesn't matter. Then know that the ruling planet for Pisces, okay, is Neptune. What does this mean? It means that you Pisces is assigned to key 18, okay? Can meditate, contemplate on this tarot key, even make the choice to explore the meanings of key 18 when it comes to family development. I have all this on my website. I have plenty of videos and I have an app that has all the symbols, but you can consciously know that Neptune, if you align your focus with Neptune in Capricorn, then it will help you with your family development, help you get back in flow. All right. You do have small fifth house, small sixth house. These are pre-incarnation needs, right? These are difficulties within this life that you'll experience. So there wasn't a lot of time and energy in other lifetimes. There will be circumstances that will arise in this area of life so that you can experience it, integrate it, and it can come to a conclusion. Fifth house is self-expression. Sixth house is service to others, work, and also health. Like keep an eye on your personal health, especially with Neptune being your ruling planet. Okay. All right. Now we're going to social development within this lifetime. You have Gemini in your seventh house, well developed. So it appears just by this chart that you've had plenty of experience with partnerships and relationships and other lifetimes. It's about 40 degrees. Okay. But Libra is your cusp. And we talked about how Gemini, I mean, not Libra, Gemini is your descendant, and it's the cusp. And we talked about how in other lifetimes you may have not experienced a lot of what you knew. Like knowledge, okay? You knew, for example, you knew about Rome, but you never traveled to Rome. Well, in this lifetime, with Sagittarius being your ascendant, you know about Rome and your energy is going to take you to Rome, okay? And if you don't go to Rome, that's it, right? If you don't go to Rome in Italy, I have a southern accent, so. You'll feel it from within. Okay, there'll be some tightness and some travel, long travels. Rome is just an example. But maybe your soul wanted me to say Rome if you've been contemplating on going to Italy. Now, we talked about key six being Gemini being assigned to key six. So that's a good tarot key to meditate on. And just for example, I mean, the male figure, he is symbol for our self-consciousness. Okay. The female figure, she is symbol for our subconsciousness. And the angel is symbol for our super consciousness. Notice how our self-consciousness is looking at our subconsciousness, and our subconsciousness is looking at the angel. Okay. All right. The angel, super consciousness. The subconsciousness becomes receptive to higher influences, which are at higher in tarot, actually means inner world. Okay. There is no higher and upper and lower, and it's inner and outwardly. Inwardly, outwardly. All right. Let's move on to your fourth quadrant. Again, you can see the sliver of green right here. So Virgo is your ruling zodiac sign for career development. Okay. Now, your midheaven. This is how you will desire to be perceived from the outward world. Okay. All right, this is how you will carry the choices you make will be very heavily influenced by Libra, but you do have the rulership of Virgo. Key nine is Virgo is assigned to key nine. The ruling planet for Virgo is Mercury. All right. So when it comes to career development, and to keep it simple, you're struggling with career development or how you want to confront the world and be in the world, the outward world, then know you can focus on your Mercury in your personal development house, I mean quadrant. Okay. And it will actually benefit your career development. Do you notice how, other than your first quadrant, you have so many planets in your personal development house that your second quadrant, your third quadrant, your fourth quadrant, they all point to personal development. Okay. The ruler of Sagittarius is Jupiter. And I'm about to address what I see here, which might be helpful for your personal development. Okay. Now, let's talk about your moon in Libra. Now, it represents an area of life that you became very fixed, very, very habitual, very bound, very set in your ways in past lifetimes. So in this lifetime, you decided you wanted to make some serious change in this area of life. Okay, 10th house. 10th house career development. 10th house is career, clarity of purpose, public influence, self-mastery. I would go ahead and presume, I'll be very presumptuous here. Before you entered the second part of your life, right? You have gathered all these experiences with all these planetary forces. And as you figure this out and you grow your family development quadrant, which is layered on top of your personal development, then Self-mastery will actually determine your balance in a career and your what's the word I'm looking for? Don't want to say wealth, but the gifts of self-mastery will be attracted to you. Okay. Yeah. So if you don't make changes when it comes to your 10th house, then you simply would be just replicating what you did in your previous lifetimes, and it wouldn't be beneficial. Okay. And the soul doesn't want that. The soul, your desire for harmonious relationships and surroundings is very strong that you possibly avoid personal confrontations or any expressions of intense, unpleasant emotions, conflict, right? You may catch yourself trying to avoid conflict. But the moon in Libra, yeah, especially with Libra, avoiding conflict is the default, right? They're constantly seeking ways to find balance with themselves and balance with others. And they have to face it. Libras do. So your moon in Libra, in the 10th house, you will work well with others, and you know what others want, but you may tend to invest more in your career or public life than in your private life if focused on this moon too intensely. But with all these planets right here, if it came to aspects with the moon, which I think you have a sextile, we're not ta I said we weren't going to talk about aspects, but you have a lot of pull down here. The gravitational pull for personal development is very obvious. Okay. Yeah. So, and who knows, maybe since you have this lunar influence of knowing what others want and working well with others, and as long as you don't avoid your private life and taking care of yourself, you may blend well with professional caring for others, nurse or some kind of nonprofit with cultures, right? You got a Sagittarius ascendant. Working with other cultures would be really good for your energy, possibly. Ultimately, it's up to you to decide and to try and experiment, right? That's all we're doing is we're experimenting. Okay, let's get through these last two planets. Your Jupiter and Scorpio. So remember when we talked about this, your ascendant. You have Jupiter as your ruling planet for your personal development. Okay, very important. But Jupiter in Scorpio, it has like what's the word? It unwillingness to settle for shallowness in any area of life. Think about how big Jupiter is, right? It's not gonna settle. It's very big. Jupiter is unafraid of going to extremes and experiencing the depths of Scorpio. Jupiter in Scorpio loves the mysterious and the unknown, so that might be very attractive to you, right? You will, with Jupiter in Scorpio, there is this intuitively understanding of inner drives and motivations of others. Okay, all that's already developed within your subconsciousness. Now, it is a small house, Okay. It is a small house. This is a house of community, social awareness, imagination, community. Okay. So you have Jupiter there that wants you to get out, blend with the community, work that Jupiter energy because your good fortune, that's the word I was looking for earlier with your moon. Your fortune, okay? Your good fortune working in groups, community, and organization will come with your self-mastery. There we go. Finally came to me. All right. You're an Aquarian. Yeah, I mean, this is an Aquarian house. The Aquarian 11th house is assigned to Aquarius. Okay. So community is going to be important. Self-mastery is going to be important. And there'll be reflections and experiences that will help you progress towards self-mastery. All right. Now, finally, let's talk about your source of power. That's Pluto. Pluto is all about transformation. Okay. Pluto and Scorpio has also, just like Jupiter and Scorpio, Pluto and Scorpio has a deep penetrating interest in the mysterious. And this could be with power, right? Power on Earth is not comparable to a cosmic power or universal power, but that power on Earth could be there. But exploring the dark side of life is there, and that's fine. In fact, we go into the dark, shine our light, and then that's what we all do as humans. But Pluto and Scorpio is at home. This means that there's this aspect of being emotionally complex, right? A lot of people may not be able to handle the emotional body that has been developed if self-mastery hasn't been developed to a degree where Pluto, the compulsions from subconsciousness that Pluto will push up, could be very intense. All right. So Pluto in the 12th house, very complex emotions and subconscious energies. And there will be periodic transformations and personal crisis that are sprinkled throughout your life. Just face them, own them, and you'll become so much more. Right? And there's this religious saying that God never gives us what we cannot handle, right? So go in with courage. Pluto and Scorpio, courageous, right? Especially with Jupiter there also. Very courageous. And if anything, have this side of you that just sort of laughs at the crisis, because laughter is medicine for the subconsciousness. The feelings aren't the greatest, but it does get easier. Your childhood, your teenage, adolescent years probably experienced enough where if you can identify these reoccurrences from childhood that are playing out in your adulthood, and then consciously choose to integrate them and let them go, then your Pluto will take the higher aspects of influence instead of just you having to repeat childhood habitual beliefs and responses and being non-receptive to new experiences. that are beneficial for your own self-mastery and for humanity. Okay, we'll close, but I also do vibrational astrology, and I'll take all 360 degrees of a natal chart. And what I'll do is I'll multiply all the angles between all the planets by the vibration, and this creates an orb which is magnified within your natal chart. Okay. Your natal chart, your astrology chart is the first harmonic. It's the first vibe. Now, all the other harmonics, they have their own label and expression that can be helpful for your life. And here we see that the 201st harmonic is your strongest vibration within your energy. Okay. So it's called the expressive creative anatomy. And here you can read the descriptions. But again, your Aquarian, personal freedom and the joy of expressing unique perspectives through creativity. All of these descriptions, I can kind of see them playing out in your second house of your first vibe, your natal chart. And so when we magnified your chart, this is what it looks like. Okay. This is what it looks like. And look at all of the fourth house attributions. That is a tight orb, which Saturn is in opposition of for the Mars, but it has squares and trines that created this powerful orb for your private life and your self-expression. Your fourth house is stacked. I wouldn't be surprised if, now I'm not going to make accusations, but normally fourth house means that we release ourselves from our family, okay? And we journey on and create our own life. All right. But your tarot key is the Nine of Wands of the Minor Arcana, and it means, oh, you know what? This is not correct. This is not correct. I'll have to read it to you in my notes if you find it. Let's see. The Nine of Wands is the Lord of Great Strength. And this card embodies the themes of strength, resilience, and the determined spirit required to face and overcome challenges. It encourages you to draw on your inner strength and remain steadfast in the pursuit of your goals. There we go. So hopefully that'll give you an idea of your energy type, the vibration that you carried into this lifetime. There we go. Yeah, hopefully that was very helpful. But know that our astrology chart does not define who we are. Okay. Astrology analysis is nothing more than a bunch of symbols that allow us to resonate with what aligns with us in that moment. Because we'll feel, if I said something and you felt it, then that's your conscious mind talking to your subconscious, and your subconsciousness is responding with, aha, yes, that's correct. You have a realization. The more realizations that we have, the more self-empowered we become, the more closer you'll become to self-mastery, and then you'll also be able to know yourself, you'll be able to accept yourself, and then you'll become the creator, right? We are extensions of creator, we're divine sparks. So let's bring our creatorship down to earth. Okay. Thank you very much. I enjoyed reading your chart. It was very interesting.